have coffee with each other afterwards and hang out. But if we haven't met, as Ryan mentioned, my name's Riley. I'm part of the team at True North. I spend most of my time, all of my time basically, over the last 2 years actually, up at Mullaloo, but I did start on the team here in Merrawa in 2016, kind of as we launched here. And so it is just so nice to be here, to be with my Merrawa church fam. And so, yeah, thanks. Chris is excited, which is great. But it's great to be here. And I mean, I'm looking forward to getting into the Word with you today. And we've got Imagine coming up. And yes, we can cheer for Imagine. Come on. Everyone who's not cheering is like, I'm not going. I'm not cheering. But Imagine is this week. We're like 4 days away. It's Thursday. It's kicking off. And it's really exciting because this is just a chance that we get. You know, each week we get a chance to come, to gather, to seek after the presence of God. And it's great and it's awesome. But what is amazing about Imagine is we get to gather our entire tribe together to collectively seek after the presence of God together because we believe that He is the God of more, immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. So we just come together as a group of people, say, God, we want to hear from you. We want to hear from you, not just for our own lives, but for us as a church. Where are you leading us as a body of people? And so it's a really fun thing that we get to be a part of. And so I want to encourage you. I'm not saying that this because I have to. I'm saying this because I genuinely believe that it's an amazing weekend. So if you're not coming, I would encourage you to rethink your not coming and come. It's going to be awesome. But with Imagine, we've been in a 14 days of prayer and fasting. And it's been a fun little season. We've got 4 days left. And, you know, for those that are fasting food, you're probably getting pretty hungry about now. So you're thinking, let's go. 4 days, we're almost there. But this is, we do this together as a church. We fast as we seek God, not because we want to say, God, we want you to do this exact specific thing in our mind, but we fast and we pray because we can say, hey, God, I want you to speak to me. Whatever it is that you want to say to me must be the most important thing that I need to hear. So we want to fast. We want to put things aside that are good things, that aren't necessarily bad things. Good things to say, things that I might want, things that I might need, because God, I want and I need you more than those things. And so we, at the start, there were some prayers sent out as some guiding prayers. But I don't know about you. When it comes to strategically praying for any periods of time, I personally find it a little bit challenging. Does anyone get you think, all right, I'm going to pray today. I'm going to set some time aside. I'm going to pray. And then you go and you sit down and you go to pray and you think, oh, I need to do the dishes. Or like, I need to fold the washing. Or, you know, you start just, you just thought, oh, could be doing this. Or we just start praying and then we just go in every which direction. You know, I'm praying for this and I'm praying for that, and kind of led by our hearts and just kind of going in whatever direction. But so it can be challenging when we say, hey, you know, I want to focus my time in on prayer. It can be challenging to know what do we want to pray for. And so what is always a great thing to do when we want to focus in on our prayers is we want to go to Scripture, that we believe that Scripture is Holy Spirit, that is inspired by the Holy Spirit. If we want to get direction, if we want to get guidance, one of the most helpful things that we can do is go to Scripture. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to go to Ephesians 1, verses 15 to 21. So if you have your Bible, you can turn with me. If it's glowing, I wouldn't recommend opening it. Fun just side story. One Sunday night, I was at church in the city, and I opened up my glowing Bible to read a Bible verse, and then I saw that I had a text message from Pastor Dean, and he wasn't there. And so I texted him back, and he said, his reply to me was, how did you manage to send a text? How did you organize a text to get sent while you were in church? And I was like, ah, good question. Special app that I've got now. And I was like, no. So I get really distracted, and so that's why I reckon paper Bible is the better way to go. And so we'll read together. Ephesians 1, verse 15 to 21. It says this. This is Paul writing to the churches around the area of Ephesus, and he's writing to a lot of people. It says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation." Let me hear you say wisdom and revelation. "That you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. This power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come." This prayer that Paul is praying over to these churches in Ephesus, it's essentially he's just praying, "Hey, I want you, I keep asking that you would know God better, that you would know him better." At the core of this prayer is this is what we get. And so as we start, before we get too far along, I want to pray as we unpack this together. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your scripture. We thank you that it's Holy Spirit inspired, Lord, that the scripture that we read in this prayer, Lord, it aligns with your heart. And so, God, as we unpack this scripture together, as we explore what it would speak to us, Lord, as you are speaking directly to our hearts, Lord, may it not be my words, Lord, may it be you speaking to each one of us what we need to hear from you. Lord, we're in this space to encounter your love, your grace, and your presence together and to seek after you. So, Lord, we pray, have your way. Amen. We're gonna come back to scripture in a moment, but I want to tell you something a little bit about myself, and that's something that I do regularly, which comes to when it comes to speaking at church on a Sunday. Something that I often talk about, and you wouldn't have had the privilege of me talking to you about this before, and it's my love of riding bikes. And so I don't know, is anyone in here like riding bikes? Anyone? Yeah, there's a couple hands up there. And has anyone here ridden some dirt bikes before? Ridden some dirt bikes? Yeah, no. There's a couple hands. Anyone ridden road bikes before? They're too dangerous. Don't ride them. Dirt bikes are way safer. That's what I reckon. Anyway, but I have this. You know how Pastor Danny kind of talks a lot about the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Browns and all that kind of stuff. I feel like this is the thing that I find myself talking a little bit too much about. But it's my love of riding bikes. So I like mountain biking and I like motorbiking. I grew up and I was racing motocross through my teenage years. And what I wanted to try to share with you this morning is a little bit of the experience of what it's like to ride a motorbike, to ride a dirt bike. And I was trying to think about how could I explain it to you? How could I help you sort of just know how good it is, the joy of it? And I couldn't think of too much. So what I've got is I've got a video of me a couple of years ago doing a jump. And so what I'm going to do, I wasn't ready for that. I'm going to show you this video. And then what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to explain to you the experience of doing this. And so this is a couple years ago. We had just had I'll tell you when. A couple years ago, we had, it must be on a loop or something. A couple years ago, I was having some time off. My wife had just had a baby, and it just so happened that during the time that I had off, there was a motorbike race on. I was like, let's do it. So, gracious wife, obviously, went for a motorbike race when I had a one-week-old. But, hey, it was awesome. And so I went and did this race, and I'm pretty sure I was coming dead last, and I was not doing very good at all. I'm not I'm not here to say that I'm any good, but what I do love doing is jumps. That's kind of one of my favorite parts. It's just that feeling of flying through the air, and it's just, you know, hoping for the best and just going for it. It's awesome. So together we're going to watch this video here. So this, we got this jump here. So you kind of see what's going on there. That jump is called the quarry jump. And so you've seen it now a few times. And so I want to try to explain this to you. So this jump is probably the hardest jump at that track to jump, because what happens is you go, you've got these two tight corners, and it's really sandy, it's really soft. It's just out the back here in Wanneroo. It's one of the softest sand tracks in the country. And so, you know, I fall off all the time. So you've got these two tight, really, really tight corners. And then so you come around and you've got this big jump, and it's kind of the biggest one, but you go up a hill to get there, and it's this soft, loamy, dry sand, and it's rough as. And so all what you got to do, you got to kind of give it absolutely everything. I'm a bit heavy on a 250, so that was a 250 bike, if you know anything about bikes. And I've got to literally go as fast as my bike will allow me to go to even just try to make the jump. And so you have this moment, so you come around the corner and you're just looking up, and you've got it full stick, you're giving it everything, you're lining it up, you hit the jump, and then you're just in the air, and you're like, this is glorious. You have that moment, you're like, yep, cool, nothing's gone wrong so far, I'm feeling good about this. And you fly through the air, you see the down ramp, and then you go down, and then that jump is awesome, because you come down, and then you do the next jump again, and you kind of try to put a little bit of style into it, a little bit of steez, you might call it, and you kind of do this jump, and you're like, oh, awesome. And then you ride away, and then you go do it a bunch more times. And it gets scarier as the race goes on, because the more tired you get, I don't know if you know this about motocross, it's very physically demanding. As you get more tired, it gets more scary, it gets more fun. I feel like the fear fun factor, they go up together. Now, I tell you this whole story, I tell you this whole experience, because this is one of the funnest things that I've ever done. But for me to tell you about it, for you to see the video, for you to hear about it, hear about the experience, and kind of try to wrap your head around what that is like, is there is two very, very different things about knowing about that, hearing about it, seeing it, trying to wrap your head around it, and actually doing it yourself. Am I right? They're two very, very different experiences, very different. There's knowing about something as much as you can know it, but there's a difference between a lived reality and an experiential reality. And that is kind of what is a big thing that comes into our faith, that, you know, there is a big divide between knowing about God, knowing about the things of God, and actually having an experiential knowing of Him, or knowing Him with who we are. It's often gets described as head knowledge versus heart knowledge. Have you heard that before? That difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge. And there's a big difference between these two things. And Paul's writing to this church. He's writing this passionate, consistent, fervent prayer that they would know God better. But why is it so important? Why is it so high up on Paul's priorities in this letter? He writes, you know, he's written what's called a doxology, and then he goes into this prayer. It's early on. It's really important to him. Why is it so important? Why does he pray this so early on in his letter to these churches? It's because Paul had heard about their faith and their love for one another. But what Paul knew is that life is challenging. Paul knew that their faith was going to cause challenges in their life. And he knew that knowing about Jesus, having faith, doing good work, loving one another, all these things, as good as they are, which they are great things, cannot sustain themselves. What is required for the people is that they would have a lived reality, an experiential reality of knowing God. For us today, our faith is something that if it's driven by head knowledge and doing good works and how well we treat each other, it won't sustain itself. Our spiritual disciplines, our serving in church, our devotion to God, even as simple as coming to church every Sunday, these things, they won't sustain themselves if they're driven by a head knowledge. It's an experiential knowledge of God that drives us and drives our faith. So I want to ask us this question. How can we be a people that live with an experiential knowing of Jesus, with a heart knowledge, not just a head knowledge? And so I want to unpack this prayer together. So back in verse 17, Paul writes, he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. See, for the people that are receiving this letter, they would have already known, they would have already received the Holy Spirit. This isn't a prayer to say, hey, I want you to experience the Holy Spirit. You haven't experienced it yet before. They would have known the Spirit of God. They would have known who he is. They would have had some sort of an experience already. But Paul's not saying that they don't know this. What his prayer is indicative of a reality that as much as we might seek to know God, and I want to pause here really quickly. This is, I really don't want you to hear me wrong at all, is that we're not saying that knowing about God is not important. That is incredibly important. We want to be a people who study the Word, who know about God, to know His Word, and is what helps us to understand Him, His heart, and we believe Scripture is Holy Spirit inspired. So it is really important. But what Paul's letter is indicative of is the reality that as much as we might seek to know about God, it's by his spirit of wisdom and revelation that he reveals himself to us more and more. If we want to be a people who live with an experiential knowing of Jesus, it's our invitation for the Spirit to reveal himself to us more and more. It's him revealing himself to us. So as we seek to know more about God, as we seek to fast, as we pray, as we fellowship, as we worship, all these things, we want our prayer to be that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom, and the Spirit of revelation would be continuing to reveal himself to us more and more. And I think this is a genuinely powerful reality for each one of our faith as we journey to follow God. For me, this was the transitioning factor for me for my own faith. And so my parents are first generation Christians, so they came to faith in their like 30s or something like that, and then so I grew up in a Christian home. And so what can often happen when you do grow up in a Christian home is that your faith can be something that you experience or that you know about from your parents, and it can be something that is like that, something that I see that. And I grew up knowing a lot about God. I was in kids church every Sunday. My parents, they worked so that we would know a lot about God. And so what for me, the defining factor of already knowing about God, but actually knowing him intimately, was his Spirit revealing himself to me. So then my faith became something that was what I knew, what I experienced. And so it transitioned from knowing about their faith, knowing and following in their footsteps, to this is my faith now. And I think that this is one of the most powerful prayers that we can pray over our loved ones, and powerful prayers that we can pray over our children, is that they would know God, that they would know the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, that it would be God who reveals himself to us, that we would grow, that our kids would grow up having a heart knowledge of God, as well as a head knowledge. And so Paul continues. He says in verse 18, he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Can I hear you say enlightened? One more time. Enlightened. In order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. This term here that he's using, the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. What he's trying to say, what he's trying to get at is that to the core of who you are, that you would know God. To the core, you know that feeling when you're like, I know that I know that I know that I know this truth and reality. You know, I had that once. I was in a disagreement with my wife, and there was this one time where I was just like, I know I'm right this time. And I was like, I know that I know that I know to the core of who I am, I know I'm right this time. And I think I was wrong. But hey, that happens. But you know that feeling? You know that sense that I know that I know that I know? What is Paul is trying to write? He's like, to the very core of who you are, that you would know that you know that you know that you know the hope and the power of God. This hope that is an undercurrent of all of life. It's the hope that is found in Jesus. It's the hope of his love. It's the hope of us, the church. It's the hope for our lives, the hope for eternity. It's the hope for Zoe today. It's this hope that we get to live in and step into a life with his people, to live in the inheritance of a life that is found in him in its fullest measure. We don't have to look very far to look around in the world and feel like there is no hope. We don't have to turn the TV on for very long to feel like, hey, what is going on? And Paul's writing to the church, he's like, oh, I pray that you would know that you know that you know the hope that is found in Jesus. And the hope and the power, this word that's used here in the original Greeks, this word dunamos, which is where we get the word dynamite, which is pretty cool. Boom, boom. It's the word, the hope, the dunamos power of God. He's saying, I want you to know this power that, you know, the same power that overcame death, that raised Jesus back to life, the power that Jesus has and has authority in, the power that seated him at the right hand of God, the power that is still currently active today is available to every single one of us here today. He's praying that there would be an enlightenment to the hope that is accompanied by the practice and the empowerment of the power of God. It's like, I want you to know at the core of you are, of who you are, this hope that is found in Jesus, that it comes with the power of God that you can have, that is available to you. Now, the reason I showed you that video specifically was because I talk about riding quite a lot. But in reality, I don't ride very often. I think I ride motorbikes twice a year. I got a new motorbike a few months ago, and I rode it once. I've ridden it once since, partly because, you know, parts are expensive and I have to fix it. But hey, that's another side of the story. I don't ride very often. That ride there was 2 years ago, almost. And it was my first race in about a decade. And so it was the first time I'd done that in a really long time. And the reason I show you that video is because once upon a time for me, riding was a lived and experienced reality. Once upon a time for me, that was an every weekend thing. That was racing on Sundays, practicing throughout the week. That experience, that knowing was just a part of my life. And I share that with you because now that experience, that reality is far more of a memory than a reality. And this hope, this enlightenment of the heart, the hope and the power that Paul is writing about for us here today, very in reality could be something that we once knew. It could be something that was once a lived experience, something that we walked in, something that we had every day as we journeyed through life. But over time, it can transition from an experiential reality to a memory. And that's why Paul writes, that's why he says, Paul, he just doesn't want the church to experience this once. He doesn't want them to have a passive experience. His prayer is that they would be enlightened to the hope and the power so that they would live every day knowing intimately the hope and the power of God. And so this is why he writes that he keeps praying. He says at the start, he says, I've not stopped giving thanks for you. And then he says, I keep asking. He's petitioning. He's continuing. He's consistent. He's saying that in my prayers, I remember you. I keep praying for you. Why would Paul keep praying so much? Is it because his prayers weren't getting answered? No. He's praying consistently and fervently because of how important it is. So if we want to be a people who know the hope and the power of God, we need to keep it consistent. We need to continually be open to what God might want to do in us, to open to the spirit of his wisdom and his revelation, revealing himself more and more to us. Knowing God isn't meant to be a seasonal thing. It's not meant to be something that, you know, when life's hard, I go and I seek after God and then, you know, it gets good again. So I'm back to, you know, just living my life. It's not meant to be something that, you know, through the ups and downs, just depending on how busy I am, I'll get around to it. Knowing God is meant to be something that sees us through every season of life, through every journey, through every up, through every down. This is why Paul's like, I want you to know. I keep asking. He's passionate about it because he's like, you need to know the hope and the power. Your heart needs to be enlightened to him. For me, when I don't know what to pray, which is semi-often because I get distracted quite easily, my simple prayer is, God, just help me to know you more. Because if I know you more, I know you're going to be leading me where you want me to go. I'm going to know what you're wanting me to pray for. I'm going to know more of your hope, more of your power. I'm going to be able to understand where. Knowing of God, we want to be a people who continually seek after him. So how can we live within this experiential knowing of Jesus? I'm going to invite the team to come back out. It's inviting the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know him better. It's the invitation into our life. God's not a God who wants to force himself upon us. It's the openness to his invitation. It's inviting him in that we may know the hope and the power that is on offer for us. That it wouldn't be something that we know about, wouldn't be something that's kind of we've heard about or is once an experience in our life, but it would be a lived reality today of an experiential knowing of his hope and his power. We've got to keep asking. We've got to be people, if we want to live like this, we want to continue to seek after him always. But what's incredibly important in this whole picture is that we do it together. Here today, we are a body of people. We are the church together. Paul is writing to a people. He's not writing to a person. Together, that they may all know God better. We together, we don't want to be a couple people who know Jesus' hope and power and ride on the coattails of just, you know, a couple people who are strong in their faith. We want to be a collective people together who know this hope and power. We want to journey this together. So in a moment, we're going to take communion together. I want to ask this question. What would it look like this week to know him better. What would it look like this week to open up your heart, to maybe create a consistent habit of prayer, to say, God, I want to know you better. If you're a part of the tribe here and you've been around for a little while, you might have yourself a heart, soul, mind, strength journal. That's got a habit tracker in it. You could throw in the habit tracker and say, you know what? God's stirring up my heart. I want to know him better. I'm going to try to create a habit that, God, I just want to pray a simple prayer every day. Help me to know you better. Help me to know you better. You know, is it continuing in fasting and praying over this week? And if you're not coming to Imagine, that's okay. And if you haven't been fasting and praying, that's okay too. But what would this week look like if you would go, hey, you know what? This week, I'm going to be intentional about seeking after him to know him better. Maybe choosing to fast, choosing to pray. Say, hey, God, I want to know you better. And then, how today? How could it look like for us today to seek him together? See, as Paul prayed over the church, we want to create a space together to pray. And so just as Paul prayed this prayer over the church, I'd love to create an opportunity to pray this over us. And we're going to continue to worship, continue to pray as we go. So I'd love to invite you to your feet. We're going to do a little bit different this morning. We're going to take communion all together. So in a moment, I'll invite you to come and grab the elements and then head back. But you don't have to go back to your seats. You can find a space in the room if you like. And I want to encourage you to group with the people that you came with, or group with your family, or group with your friends, or whatever it may be, because we're going to have a moment in a sec to pray this prayer over others. This is something that we do together. It's one of the most powerful prayers that we can pray for another person. I pray that you would know him better. The spirit of wisdom and revelation would reveal himself to you more and more, so you would know the hope, the power. It's one of the most powerful prayers we pray for a person. And so we're going to create some space to do this. And if you want to, you can just head back to your seat. That's fine. I'm not going to force you to do anything. But we're going to do this in a moment. So love to invite you. Come grab your elements and find space wherever you want to go. And we'll take it in a moment. So come forward. Space off to the side or space up the back if you want to gather, or just turn to each other where you're seated. Space up the front here too. Shuffle the chairs if you want, that's great. I'm all for that. take this together, and then we'll have a chance to pray over the people that you came with. And as the last couple of people are grabbing theirs, what is so great about this meal that we have? Jesus said, take this meal in remembrance of me. This meal is where we remember what was done for us on the cross. This meal is where we remember the hope that is found in Jesus. This meal symbolizes Jesus' body being broken and his blood poured out for us. This is a powerful reminder. This helps us as we gather and as we take communion. It helps us to know him better. But what's so great about this meal is it has its power and its impact come because it wasn't just Jesus' death on a cross. It was his resurrection. That's why we share this meal together. It's both his hope for what he did on the cross, but it becomes real for us today because of the power of his resurrection. And so as we remember the hope and the power of what Jesus did, let's first take the cracker, the body broken for us. Pray this prayer that Paul prayed over the church for us. Lord, we thank you for this people, for the faith that's represented here in this room, and Lord, for the love for one another. God, we ask that you, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. God, we pray that the eyes of our heart may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in your holy people, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. The power is the same as the mighty strength that you exerted when you raised Christ from the dead and seated him at your right hand in the heavenly realms. God, this is the prayer of our heart this morning. We want to be a people who know you more, who know you better. May we be enlightened to the hope and the power in you. Let's take the cup, his blood poured out for us. Thank you, Jesus. So if you want to stay seated or if you want to stand, we're gonna have some time now. We're gonna sing, but in this moment, we're gonna create space for prayer. So we'd love to invite you to pray for the people that you've gathered with. So don't rush off from where you are. Pray for the people that you've gathered with. Pray this prayer over them, that the eyes of their heart would be enlightened in order to know the hope and the power. But then also, we've got some space over here for prayer. If you would like prayer, if God's stirring up anything in your heart, you can come see some of the team over here, the prayer team's over there. There's kneeling pads if you want to kneel before God, if you whatever it may be. We want to be able to create space over these next few songs to pray with one another. I don't know about you, but I'm excited for this space to meet with God. I'm hungry to know him better. You know, if for you this is a new thing, you know, you're thinking, I want to know him. I want the Spirit of wisdom and revelation to reveal himself to me for the first time. Would love to pray with you as well. But over this next little while, take some time, pray with one another. Let's worship. Let's seek after the presence of God. And please come forward if you'd like prayer.